Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March 14th, 2026. Today is Saturday in the third week of Lent. This is a reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Here ends the reading. In other places in his letters, Paul speaks of his training as a Pharisee, which was a testimony to his facility with the scriptures of his people, the Jews. In today's reading, Paul takes the formative story for the Jews, the Exodus, and re-remembers it in such a way as to connect the Jews with the story of Christ before the story of Christ had even begun. This is not a misreading of the scriptures of the Jews so much as it was a re-rendering of them with a theological point. In short, Paul is doing midrash, which is a Hebrew term for the rabbinic method of interpreting, inquiring into, and filling in the gaps of the Hebrew Bible to derive new meaning, ethics, or law. It moves from literal interpretation to explore deeper, often metaphorical, insights. So, in Paul's Midrash, the Israelites are literally baptized by passing through the waters of the Red Sea and being immersed under the cloud of God's glory that led them to freedom. The rock that gushes out water to quench the Israelites' thirst is not just any old rock, it is Christ Himself. The spiritual food of the wilderness wanderings, manna, gets connected in a subtle way with the spiritual food of that other bread from heaven, the Holy Eucharist. And yet, as Paul narrates the story, the Israelites, led by God's own glory, baptized into the ways of Moses, fed by the food of angels, and drinking water from the rock of Christ Himself, still fail God. How did they fail? They failed in their faith through disobedience, but also, and most notably, through their idolatry. Of all the sins that plagued the Israelites, from the Exodus through the settlement of the Promised Land into exile in Babylon and back again to the Promised Land, none is more pernicious than idolatry. The God of the Jews is a self-proclaimed jealous God. This is a God who will not share worship alongside idols. Paul is clear with the Corinthians. Just because some of them have knowledge, and some of them are super spiritual, any one of them can succumb to the same temptation to idolatry. The apostle warns against any sort of spiritual pride which would assume one is impervious to such temptation when he says, "Let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." The enticement to idolatry is an enticement common to the entire human race. We are, in the end, worshipers. We will worship someone or something. Paul is emphatic that this enticement is escapable, even when the pull towards idolatry is strong. Now, most anyone listening to this audio diary would never bend a knee in obeisance to a statue or other physical representation of a so-called God. But I think this passage invites us to a deeper consideration of idolatry. As Frederick Buechner muses in his book Wishful Thinking, idolatry is the practice of ascribing absolute value to things of relative worth. We don't have to look far in our culture to see the idols du jour: money, power, sex, status. Saturated as we are with media that suggests these are all worthy ends in themselves, it can be difficult to resist the enticement to worship these pursuits to the exclusion of everything else, even a relationship with God. When Paul is talking to the Corinthians about temptation in today's reading, he is speaking specifically about the ever-present enticement to sell our souls in service of those things that should be in service to us. It was worshiping a handmade golden calf that nearly got the Israelites destroyed before their story had hardly gotten started. I wonder about our collective golden calves, which regularly distract our attention from the one who, through the waters of baptism, has set us free to become a people set apart as Christ's own. What Paul is warning the Corinthians about is a warning we should take seriously. If the people who witnessed something as miraculous as the parting of the Red Sea could decide, on a whim, to make their own little cow out of their own gold in order to worship it, then who are we to believe we are immune from such a fall? All of a sudden, "lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil" has a more ominous ring to it, doesn't it? God grant us clear vision to see idols for what they are, false gods that cause us to miss the mark of God's righteousness. Let us pray. O God, the source of eternal light, shed forth your unending day upon us who watch for you, that our lips may praise you, our lives may bless you, and our worship on the morrow give you glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.